The three readings we have today show the progression, by Jacoby, of the people of God from Abraham to Nicodemus in his clandestine encounter with Jesus, and beyond to the writings of Paul. The progression is very interesting indeed, and is something for us to consider for ourselves today. It seems that as tradition moves forward, the people of God tend to be forgetful, and they also tend to get stuck. In our first reading from Genesis 12, still in early development of the relationship between God and God's people, we have a very brief snippet of God's call to Abram, not yet Abraham. Basically, God tells Abram to uproot his family and follow God's lead, and Abram does exactly that. This is radical. This is crazy by all standards. If your neighbor told you they were going to move their family to a foreign land because God told them to, that they had no job, no home, no prospects, knew no one, and didn't know the language, you would question their sanity. You might wish you had as much faith as they did, but you would still question their sanity. And you would wonder what was up. But then again, Abram was on up in years. He was old, and so was Sarai. They had no children and nothing else to really hold them down. Maybe relocating was on their bucket list. We sure have had a lot of older folks move away recently, but they've all moved to be closer to their families. This move that Abraham and Sarai are making in their old age is really radical. They're breaking all ties and headed out on an adventure directed by God. God did give Abram a really big lure, though. God told Abram that he would be a great nation, that his name would be great. Later, God entices Abram more by telling him that his progeny would be as numerous as the sands or the stars. Abram likes that. He likes the idea of making something of himself, having a lasting name, impacting the world. Who wouldn't want an ego stroke from God? But God knew Abram's heart, that this being chosen to be the father of a great nation would not go to his head. That was why God picked Abram. He was faithful and not arrogant, or striving for a place that he thought he was due. Abram was unassuming and willing and open to being used, which seems to be characteristics that are highly valued by God. So Abram became a vessel for God's work in the world. Never was the work about Abram, and never did Abram become stuck, nor did he forget who was directing the course of action. Over time, that changed. By the time we get to Paul's writings, the people of God have forgotten the radical obedience of their ancestor Abram that God later renamed Abraham. Instead of focusing on Abraham's total trust in God for direction and absolute obedience to God's will for his life, they've begun to focus on the law, the rules and regulations. The people of God now have a checklist to follow for what's right and what is not right. And as long as they're able to check off the 600 plus laws of right behavior, and they can trace their lineage back to Abraham, they are in. Paul has all sorts of problems with this. Paul, a good Pharisee who knew the law and the prophets, the lineage and importance associated with doing the right thing, came down hard on his friends and associates. In convoluted and sometimes confusing language, Paul argued for the inclusion of all and told those who were so concerned with the letter of the law that the law gets you nowhere. God, Paul says, is about faith and grace, not about law. Paul, a Pharisee, those who are charged with keeping the laws of their forefathers had developed, is now admonishing those who cannot accept the grace given in Christ and not step out in faith to imagine a bigger, fuller picture of God's plan. A similar theme played out with Jesus' encounter with Nicodemus. Nicodemus is a seeker. He senses something in this person, Jesus, and he wants to know more. Jesus is taught in public places, and what he says rings true. Surely he is a man of God, and Nicodemus wants to know more. But Jesus is not a person that's acceptable to the status quo. The other leaders find him highly offensive. He's causing problems with his radical talk about love and grace. He's calling out the leaders, those who are secure, and that never has a happy end. So Nicodemus comes to Jesus at night. He wants to know more, but he doesn't want to risk his own security, his own place. He too is stuck. He can't think beyond what he has researched or been told, or the law, or the known reality of the world in which he lives. Nicodemus forgets the reckless abandon with which Abram left his father and kindred and took off for places unknown, because God asked him to. Nicodemus is caught up and stagnated in the words of Jesus. Jesus says, "You must be born from above." A line that has been misinterpreted wrongly as a badgering and even battering tool way too often. Nicodemus immediately goes to the literal, the law. He cannot look outside of what is linear and clear to him. I'm here to tell you, in the history of the world, God is rarely linear and clear. That's how we live and how we deal in the world, but that is not how God works. God uses old people like Abram and Sarai. God uses unimaginable people like Saul, later Paul. In the history of God's people, there have been many more Pharisees than Abrams. What a shame. We too are in a crucial time in the history of God's people. We have a wonderful opportunity to share the love of God in a world that is in deep need of that love. And we have a choice to make. Whether to be the people of the law, holding fast to the way that we have always been, church, or branching out and following God's lead. Our bishop has encouraged us to hold fast to that which is good and sing to the Lord a new song. And I think we can do that if we keep in mind the words of Paul, words of grace and faithfulness, not law and negativity. Over the past, I don't know how many years, we've had one service at 9 a.m. in the summer here. This summer we will not do that. We will continue to have an 8 o'clock service and the 10:30 service. At 8 o'clock, we will have no music, mostly because our organ will be out for restoration and renovation. At 10:30, we're going to have a come-as-you-are service. We may have guitars. We may step out of our comfort zone. Feel free to wear shorts or PJs if they're appropriate. We'll be casual, and I hope you will enjoy that. And I hope you will invite others to come and see how loving and grace-filled we are. This is an opportunity to follow the lead of our radical ancestor Abram, who stepped out in faith and was reckoned as righteous. On this second Sunday of Lent, I'm inviting you to follow that radical example of Abraham. To listen to the voice of God, to step out of your comfort zone maybe, to be led by grace, and to invite others to be a part of this wonder-filled community. Amen.